Auburn drops another game in brutal fashion.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, recording live from 30A right now. That's the waking up and looking out and seeing that is the only thing that is kind of keeping you going after this a brutal loss again in fantastic fashion. It's becoming sort of a theme of this season as Auburn drops 21-17 to Missouri on the road after playing pretty solid defense, getting a big fourth quarter lead, a big-ish fourth quarter lead, and then just not being able to put their foot on the throat and finish a game out. Again, kind of becoming a theme. So before we get started, we've got to give a shout-out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a double-up deposit bonus. Give them $200. They're going to give you $200 back to play with absolutely free. Just use that coupon code. All the sports betting lines you can imagine. You got NFL, college football, all the good stuff that you can bet on right there at mybookie.ag. Auburn drops another one, falls to 2-6 on the season, and it's becoming a season of missed opportunities. It's becoming a season of collapse, becoming a season of just not being able to get over the hump in just a singular game, just win a singular game. It's been really, really tough to watch, because you feel like over and over you're in these games. You feel like if you can just make one play, that you could possibly be, 4-2 or even 5-1 at this point in time instead of 2-6. So it's really, really tough. 5-2. Sorry. It's really, really tough. It's hard to watch at times, but it just sort of is what Auburn is right now. And it's continuing to miss opportunities. You know, sometimes in games, you only get one chance. You only get one opportunity. And you got to make a play when that opportunity presents itself. Well, this was not that game. There were multiple times that Auburn could have taken the lead to another level, but pretty much put the game away. And we're going to walk through. I mean, this is just sort of the theme of the year. Just kind of walk through this. So to start off the game, you knock their quarterback out. The heartbeat, the leader of their team, they talked about it the whole game. He'd grown up his whole life wanting to play quarterback at Missouri. He's this 10th-year senior. And you knock him out in the first, just getting after him. I mean, hitting him hard over and over again. They called it a non-contact injury, but it was not. He got rolled up early, and just they continued to put pressure on him, continued to hit him, and finally he had to come out, and he was out for basically the whole game. He was out for the whole game up until the fourth quarter. I think he got four or five drives at the end of the game, but you played the whole game without the starting quarterback. And typically, I know there's an Auburn meme that we make opposing second string quarterbacks look like first round picks, but that was not the case this time. Auburn continued to pound the quarterback, continued to pressure Drew Pine, I think, is who came in, transfer from Notre Dame. You continued to harass him, continued to make his life miserable, and you pretty much shut him down. I mean, they couldn't do anything for the whole game. But this is how you start the game off. In the same time that you knocked their let me make sure I get this right. You knocked their leader out of the game. They go miss field goal, punt, fumble, miss field goal, punt, field goal. But in that same span, before Brady Cook comes back in, Auburn can only score 10 offensive points. That's just complete. That's not a missed opportunity. That's a missed game. Like you just blew it. You had a whole game to that they just basically said, we can't do anything. All y'all have to do is score and you win this game, because we cannot do anything. We can't move the ball. We can't get first downs. We have nothing we can do with this quarterback in. We got to have Brady Cook in. So you had all those opportunities. That's 6 or 7 drives where they had their opposing quarterback in that couldn't move the ball at all, and all you could do was muster up 10 points. That's not even a missed opportunity. That's just a missed whole game. So let's go to the next one. You're up 11 points at the time. It's late in the game, later in the game, think third quarter. You have a 13-play drive that takes up over 7 minutes, okay? And you get first and goal from the 10, which is tough. That's bad luck. Anytime you get first and goal from the 10, that's bad luck, because obviously that's the maximum you could possibly – that's the maximum distance that you can possibly go to have to score. You're up 11. You got a chance to go up 18 points right here, three scores. You draw up a play and drop a dime. And it is what it is. It was a dime. I know people that don't like Peyton Thorne. It just is what it is. He struggled at times, but he did make some plays at times. You just got to capitalize. Drops a dime in the bucket. In the only place, the only person that can make the play was the receiver. In the very back of the end zone, it was a pretty much safe throw. There was nothing bad that can happen. Got one-on-one coverage. Which was rare because they were playing two high safeties most of the time. I know that's tough to do in the goal-to-go situations, but you got one-on-one coverage, you drop one in the bucket, and your senior transfer, who makes catches on the regular, it's not even necessarily a tough catch, just goes right through his hands. And then you get sacked on the next play, and you have to end up kicking a field goal, and you miss the field goal. So if you miss the field goal, at least two touchdowns doesn't beat you unless you go for two. That would have put you up 14. Then the second touchdown doesn't beat you. I don't exactly. Yeah, that's right, because I think they went for two. But regardless, that's an opportunity miss. You're up 11. You got a great drive. You're gashing them. You're controlling the clock. You get down to goal to go. You throw a dime in the end zone and you can't catch it. It's just tough. Another missed opportunity. Brady Cook comes back in the game. And on the very first drive, you're getting after him and he's not able to really do anything. He throws two errant passes. I think one of them was dropped. So it's third and 10. Third and 10. So you're thinking, you got Theo Weiss, you got Luther Burden. You got to get them covered up. You got to get them accounted for. And then Brady Cook rips a dime, a dart into their third best receiver. I think his name was Mookie something. Their third best receiver on Keontae Scott, your leader, on third and 10 when you need a play. And they knew who to pick on. Keontae Scott couldn't lock down their third best receiver, and he goes 78 yards. If you bat that pass down, if you make a stop right there, who knows what happens? But it's very similar to the Oklahoma game, where when they were down by two scores, they hit the big play, and then it's like, oh crap, what happened? What's going on? What do we do now? We've played good. Sorry, there's an alarm going off. We played really, really well, and then all of a sudden, they make a big play, and the whole momentum of the game changes. Their crowd got into it, but again, missed opportunity. Third and 10, and they throw it to their third best receiver for a 78-yard play to set up a eventual score on the first play of the fourth quarter. Even still, after that, you have a three-point lead. You get three more chances to extend the lead, to put the game away, And in those three drives, you go three and out, five and out, three and out for a total of 30 yards. So even after you give up the long play, even after you give up the 78-yard pass, and they score to cut it to the lead to 3 points, you still have an opportunity three times to eat up clock, A, B, get into, you know, it doesn't matter, a field goal, any kind of score right there, any kind of score you could have got into to extend the lead, and you couldn't do it. You had three chances, and you basically miserably failed all three. You could barely muster. You only got one first down in those three drives. So three drives, three chances, three failures for a total of 30 yards. Even still, after that, you punt them down to the 5-yard line. You've got a 3-point lead, 17-14, I believe. You punt them down to the 5-yard line, and they go 17 plays for 95 yards. They have three or four third down conversions and a fourth down conversion. Okay. This is what's tough, because, you know, people get on to Durkin sometimes for sitting back, being too conservative. But then on fourth down, he dials up a blitz, gets pressure quick. Brady Cook has to get the ball out. And you know the type of routes that have to be run. Like, it's not like they can go deep. It's not like there's a lot of, you know, big-time long developing routes. It's either going to be a slant, it's going to be an out route, or it's going to be some kind of quick hitter. And Luther Burden gets on Keontae Scott, and Keontae Scott's nowhere near Luther Burden on that play. Like, there's no contact, there's no anything off the line of scrimmage. It's just boom, simple out route, first down. And it was pitch and catch. And if it would have If you get anybody on him, if you get anything on him, if you're in his face at all, and Brady Cook has to hold the ball for a split second longer, it's possibly a sack or a fumble. So many opportunities on that particular drive, and you just couldn't get it done. So that's just – this game wasn't one opportunity, one chance where you couldn't make a play. I'm really sorry about this alarm going off, by the way. I hope it doesn't sound as bad or as distracting as it is in my headphones. But regardless, opportunity after opportunity, and you couldn't make it happen. Not one chance that you blew. I mean, 10 chances that you blew, that you could have. They did everything they could to give this game to you, and you couldn't make it. You couldn't make it happen. Let's switch over to the offensive game plan. So, the last 2 weeks, the offense has looked just completely different. It's almost looked like we are going, there's not a ton of RPOs. It's mostly, it's very similar. It very much resembles the offense from the middle part of last year, only not quite as good. It's very conservative. It's heavy dose of running and misdirection and things like that, and not really taking shots down the field, which is what makes this offense so explosive, is the ability to push the ball down the field. And we've gone completely away from that. And on one hand, I understand it, because you can't get yourself into situations where you keep turning the ball over. But also, you take away the explosion aspect, and now everyone's just going to key in on you stopping the run. It's a little bit, I almost, at this point in time, it's like, hey, just let it rip, and whatever happens, happens. Like, let it rip, go back to what you were doing, rip it down the field. I know there's a lot of people that are saying, oh, got to run the ball more. Well, they ran the ball more in this game, and they just couldn't. I guess you're starting to see that maybe the reason that Jarquez was having such a good year was had very good yards per carry numbers is because Auburn was able to be a little bit unpredictable, a little bit keep defenses off balance. And there was always that risk that Auburn could pop one to Malcolm Simmons, to Cam Coleman, to Keandre Lambert-Smith, anybody. There was a chance that that could happen, and maybe that's why he's been able to rip off the runs that he's been able to rip off. But they went away from that. They only went vertical like one time in this game, and they scored a touchdown. Now, that's not to say every time they went vertical, they would have scored a touchdown. I guess they went vertical technically on the third and goal and threw it through the hands, went right through the hands of the receiver. But as far as like regularly a part of the, a part of any other drive, don't really remember Auburn pushing it down the field very much. It was a lot of small stuff. A lot of the passes that Peyton got credit for were little jet sweeps that he just pitched right in front of him. It was just you just completely went have completely gone away from it. And again, I understand it on one hand, but on the other hand, at this point in time of the season, you don't really have much to lose. You might as well just go down with what you do best, and that's just ripping the ball up and down the field, and then gashing them in the run game, and just see what happens. It's tough, but yeah, the last two games, the offense has looked very, very different. But hey, you got what you wanted. We ran the crap out of the ball and had one of our worst. Jarquez had one of his worst games of the year, and it's not necessarily all on him. It's just that, hey, if they know we have to run the ball, if they know we're going to run the ball, we're not quite good enough yet to be able to, especially on the offensive line, to be able to push them off the ball, to be able to make stuff happen. So it's tough. 35 runs to 29 passes, but like I said, 3 to 4 of those passes were really jet sweeps that he got that Peyton got credit for. So I mean, you really ran the ball close to 40 times to 25, which is not what Hugh Freeze wants out of his offense. He does not want it to be that big of a lopsided play discrepancy. Jarquez got 32%. I've been really into this percent of touches. I've been looking at this because I've been watching how other coaches feature their bell cow running back. Jarquez got 32% of the touches, which is by far his highest percent this year. I think 25 against New Mexico was his highest. But 32% of the touches, which that's a lot. Think about that. That's one out of every three plays goes to Jarquez. But he just didn't have a lot of room. The offensive line struggled. You had a switch at offensive line. You took Percy out. You moved Dylan Wade over, and then you had Braden Joyner came in at left guard. It just couldn't quite get the push that you needed. And again, they were ready for us to run and were expecting it, and we just couldn't do anything about it. Couldn't blow them off the ball. Couldn't really push when we needed to. We had 12 drives, I think, 12 total drives. 50% of the drives were 3 and out. So that just goes to show you how poor the offense actually played in this game. Again, you had 3 opportunities in the fourth quarter. I think you had net. Now, if you want to count the last drive where you had the sack where everybody in the world knew there was no way Auburn was going to go down there and get anywhere near scoring, if you count the last drive, Auburn had 22 yards in the fourth quarter. In crunch time, you had 4 opportunities and you had 22 total yards. It's pretty rough. Defense played as good as you could play. In my opinion, that last drive stinks that you gave up that long drive. But my gracious, 5 sacks. You created a turnover. You gave the offense the ball back 3 times in the fourth quarter with their starter back in, with them with all the emotion. You gave them the ball back 3 times to go back and try to win the game, and they couldn't get it done. The defense just continues to play well, play good enough to win, and we just can't do it. We just can't do it. And we're going to talk more about through the week, like where we go from here. It's you're in a very, very – you're at a tipping point, I'm afraid. And it's happened way sooner than I had hoped, or way sooner than I ever expected. And I'm going to be honest, I'm starting to get a little bit concerned. A little bit concerned on the patience, on really the direction in general. And are we – getting closer, or are we getting further away? It's tough. It's tough because this one was one you should have won. There's no doubt about it. This is one that you really had every opportunity to win, and you wasted every single opportunity. You took advantage of zero opportunities to win this game, and they were presented to you over and over and over again. So we'll have to see how they regroup. We're going to be live tonight. We're going to dive into it, get into your questions, let you guys run the show. And have some fun, and we may have a special guest, we'll see, that'll hopefully provide us some insight on what to think about the recruiting moving forward and what the class is thinking, and just see what happens, because at the end of the day, I still think the recruiting class is all that matters this season, and retaining all the younger guys who are making plays left and right. DeMarcus Riddick's making big plays still. I mean, all the young guys are making plays. Malik Blockton had another sack. Like, it's just – you're just – young guys are really performing. It's just so critical to keep all those guys together. But we're going to talk about it tonight. I really appreciate you guys hanging in there. It's been a tough season, but we're gonna get through it. We're going to have fun with it. Basketball's right around the corner, so we got a lot of fun stuff still on the horizon. At the Barn, you need to sign up for just a little while longer. You can get that $1 special. It's going to go away soon, but you can try out the first month for a buck. So, guys, I really appreciate it. Y'all have a great rest of the day. We'll talk again tonight. This is another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned. Sorry for the alarm in the background.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.